Well, here we are. Somebody had to do it, right? Somebody had to do it. And it, as we kept going, it looked like it was going to be me. And so we thought it was going to be last week, but no. So I've been asking the Lord, what in the world do you do to follow what's been happening for 8 weeks? What do you do? And he said, remember. I want you to remember. I want you to know and remember everything that's happened, because it was all done for a purpose. And it's done as part of our heritage and as an inheritance to those who are coming after us and those even in this room. And so I want to start by reading just a couple of excerpts from two Psalms. And this is the Passion Translation, Psalm 77, starting in verse 11. It says, yet I could never forget all your miracles, my God, as I remember all your wonders of old. I ponder all you've done, Lord, musing on all your miracles. It's here in your presence, in your sanctuary, where I learn more of your ways. For holiness is revealed in everything you do. Lord, you are the one and only, the great and the glorious God. Your display of wonders, miracles, and powers makes the nations acknowledge you. By your glory bursts, you've rescued us over and over. And it, skipping over to Psalm 78, starting in verse 3, it says, we've heard true stories from our fathers about our rich heritage. We will continue to tell our children and not hide from the rising generation the great marvels of our God, his miracles and power that have brought us all thus far. The story of Israel is a lesson in God's ways. He established decrees for Jacob and established the law in Israel, and he commanded our forefathers to teach them to their children. For perpetuity, God's ways will be passed down from one generation to the next, even to those not yet born. In this way, every generation will set its hope in God and not forget his wonderful works, but keep his commandments. So I want to start out by saying what has happened over these 8 weeks, as I said before, is part of our inheritance. And he wants us to remember, and he wants us to talk about it. And we may have more times like this. We don't know what God is going to do. One thing I do know is we're never going to be the same. Nothing that has happened over the course of these 8 weeks was planned or orchestrated by any of us. It was week after week what the Holy Spirit decided to do. But here's some things that we have done. We have prayed continually as an eldership and as a body for the presence of God, for the Holy Spirit to visit us. We have done that. And week after week, we specifically do it in the time of pre-service, before it starts, where we seek God and say, Lord, come. Have your way in this meeting. We seek God. We ask for God. We're knocking on the door constantly, saying, Lord, come. Lord, come and do your thing. And from the very beginning, 30 years ago, of Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship, we have intentionally and purposely fought against a spirit of religion. We have constantly done that. And we are determined to never, ever quench the Spirit of God. And those are things we have done. All of those things continually for 30 years. We've sought the Spirit of God. We've invited the Spirit of God. We have fought against a spirit of religion. And we've preached the word. We love the word here. And we have a team of teachers that brings rich words to you. So it's not like we're saying, oh, we're just going to never preach again, because that's not true either. We value and honor the word of God. But if the Holy Spirit says don't, we won't. And it doesn't matter. And let me just say this. Every single person that was scheduled to speak these last 8 weeks, well, with the exception of the prayer, praise, and worship, came ready to do it. Every person came prepared and ready to do it. We didn't say, oh, you know, probably this week, so I won't. We did. Every single person did, came ready. So, with God giving me this kind of, here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember, I watched over 16 hours, well, 18 now, counting this week, of services. And some of them I watched two or three times, and I would go back and I would go forward, because so much happened. So much happened in these weeks. If I took a poll of the room, you might have highlights, but none of us remember it all in the moment. We just kind of go with the flow of it. But God wants us to remember tonight. And so I want to just give you some general information to start out with. Here's the notes I took. Pages, pages and pages of notes. I'm not preaching all of this, even though Ron gave me that wonderful permission at the beginning, because it's too much. It's too much to tell or to take in. But here are some general things that have happened in every one of these meetings. First of all, let me just say, I believe that every house has its own DNA. And we as a body of believers have a DNA. We are an apostolic and prophetic church. And that is part of our DNA. And so when God moves, he's not going to go against what he's already put in us. So a lot of what happened over these 8 weeks was very prophetic and very apostolic, because that's who we are. So I'm giving my best count. There were 137 prophecies given. It may be more. As I said, this is my best. This is the best I could do. Okay. So there were 33 what I would call directive prophecies, where God specifically said, I want you to do this. And some of those were for the body and some were for individuals, but they were directive, with God saying, do this, very specifically. There were 43 personal prophecies given to individual people or groups of people. And they were given by a myriad of people. And there were 61 general prophecies, 137 to my best estimate number of prophecies. That's a lot. That's a lot in that length of time. There also were prophetic and responsive songs, where people would just get up and start singing, either in the front here or from the platform. They weren't spoken prophecies, but they were sung. They were the Spirit of God singing over us. Scriptures were read and declared over us. There were pictures given where people saw things or drew things, but pictures given us of the heart of God, of what God was doing, of what he wanted to say to us. There were prophetic acts. There were several of those over the course of the week. Amazing, right? I'm only just beginning. There was, that we were made aware of, angelic activity in this room, where people saw angels, felt angels, perceived angels. However it happened, there was angelic activity. Angels joined us all of those 8 weeks. there were words of healing and healing that happened. Because we also are a teaching house, there were pauses in the activity quite often for teaching moments where someone would get up and just say, let me just explain to you what just happened. Or let me just give you a little bit of instruction. One of my favorites was when Valerie got up and said, let me tell you what dance is. You have to move at least two body parts. That was a teaching moment, right? There were those teaching moments. There was a lot of warfare that happened. There was dancing, a lot of that, and a lot of flagging as well. So just generally speaking, over those 8 weeks, all of that stuff happened in our midst. And again, none of it was planned, but I think you're going to be surprised at the order in which it came, with it not being planned by any human being. So I'm going to go week by week, but before I do that, because there was so much of it, I have a whole section just dedicated to the children. Because so much happened with the children. It's no coincidence that we're not having junior church in this season. That none of the kids are going out but are staying for everything. That's no coincidence. God knew. And they were here. And they were here for a reason. The very first week, March 9th, towards the beginning of that service, there was actually, notate who said what. And then I stopped doing that because God said it all. It doesn't matter who the vessel was. And so I'm not saying names. God said it all. And he used a bunch of people. But that first night, March 9th, towards the beginning of the service, there was a prayer that was prayed for the Holy Spirit to be activated in our children. A specific prayer that was prayed for that to happen. There were words specifically to the children. One of them was everyone under 25 was going to receive a mantle of boldness with revelation to speak with authoritative grace and for the kids to get ready. That was a word that was said that very first night to our children. There was another word, another night. This is all of the 8 weeks that are included in this, about putting weapons of war in the hands of the children to fight, to break curses, to break chains, that God was going to use it, and he was putting weapons of warfare in the children's hands. And we saw that week after week after week. As the children began flagging and dancing and coming into more authority. Words and pictures and prophecies started coming through the children. Yes. Towards the beginning, someone saw two angels, one of the children. Someone else gave that word, but it came through a child. One was an angel of glory and one was an angel of war. And it was the children that brought forth that word. There was a picture that we saw that was sent to us, done by a young boy, of a river of the blood of Jesus with the caption, "Be bold, be brave, be you." Spoken over us from one of the children, 7 years old. There was another word that came through about, "Don't be afraid, just jump in the fire," from a child. They participated in prophetic acts and dancing. There was one very moving week. It was the week where the dancers were here, that a mom was over here and her toddler child was mimicking the dance that she did, and anyone that watched it was in tears because of the power and the anointing on that child. The children entered into and initiated every prophetic act and a lot of dancing. And this increased over these 8 weeks. There was a little bit of activity the first week, a little bit more. And every week as we went on, there was more and more and more, till they were not only up front, they were on the platform, they were engaging in war, they were dancing, they were flagging with new authority. And we started to get responses saying, this is the best thing that's ever happened in this church, from a child. Another child that said, I don't know why, but I can't keep my shoes on when I'm in this sanctuary because of the presence of God. There was a new boldness that came over them. At one pre-service, there was a young man, there's not always a lot of children at pre-service, that was on the platform and that was flagging with such anointing and power, it moved me to tears because of the anointing that was on him. There was another time when two kids hit one of the long flags and was raising it, and then there was another child that just laid under it and wouldn't get up, just wanting to be under the glory and the presence of God. And then there was a baby that was specifically singing along in a singing voice with the worship. There was another word about for the children about a new evangelistic authority. And parents could probably tell more stories, but God is doing something in the lives of our children. We had said, encouraged it, let your kids in the river. Don't stop them. Don't stop them. Encourage them to have words. Encourage them to come forth. And we saw it happen. And we will never discourage the children from participating. It's been said over and over and over again, there's not a junior Holy Spirit. They can have the same encounter with God that we can. They may need a little direction, a little correction, but we will never discourage it. And over these 8 weeks, week after week after week, the children participated and grew stronger, stronger, and stronger. And it was amazing to see. So, week one, March 9th. And I've titled that, Not Disqualified. That was the emphasis of week one. The opening prayer was this, that week. Holy Spirit, take us by the hand and lead us into all truth. Holy Spirit, take us by the hand and lead us into all truth. In that first week, something different happened as well, in that we didn't start with a song. We started with several minutes of free worship. There was a prayer that was prayed, and then there was an opportunity for us to connect with the Spirit of God and allow Him to do what we asked Him to do. Take us by the hand and lead us into truth. A scripture came forth shortly after that said, please let us fall into the hand of God. Then there was the next word said, God desires to bring us into wholeness. Send your power into us because we become like what we behold. The Holy Spirit was called a searchlight, and we paused because we asked the Lord, lay my heart bare before you. And we paused in that moment. There was a vision of a pool, and we were directed, everyone can get in. And then our fights and our troubles don't discount us. No one is permanently disqualified. That was the message of the first week. We're going to ask you, Lord, to take us on a journey. Take us by the hand. Enter into that. Lay bare our hearts before him. Do whatever work. Because we paused there for quite a while in that moment of laying bare our hearts. And then the end of that came with the illustration of kintsugi, the Japanese art of putting gold in broken pieces. And the Lord said, that's what you are to me. You come before me. And the enemy is saying, because of this, this, and this in your life, you are disqualified. And the Lord started out by saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because I'm going to take those broken pieces and I'm going to fill you with gold and I'm going to take you by the hand and lead you into all truth. Week one, you are not disqualified. Week two, cleanse our hearts, Lord. So we had that introduction of God saying to us, I see you. And we laid bare before him and invited him to peek with a searchlight. There was nothing hidden. But then the next week was us coming before him saying, I'm going to surrender to you. And we waited again. There was quite a period of waiting. Not unlike tonight, and I think it was the same song, actually, that we sang in this moment. And I do have some of the songs interspersed, but every song that was sung went along with what God was saying week after week after week. And I can probably ask Ron, did God ever change your set list in the midst of? Yes. So again, it was the Spirit of God just orchestrating and leading and causing there to be a flow. Come hungry and look again. Plumb the depth. You are our Father, and you hold us in your arms. There's an alabaster box, and God is saying, forgiven of much and loved much. One after the other. After the other. The Lord has redeemed my life from every distress. And you could just feel the beginning of healing. The first week, you're not disqualified. In the second week, let me prove to you again that your heart can be cleansed because we're on a journey and we're going somewhere. Next, there came a call to purity into single-mindedness. Keep your mind single and stay pure. Then there was a prophetic word that said, in the next 6 weeks, I'm going to prepare your heart for change. That was a directive word. The next 6 weeks. We didn't know that there would be six more weeks after this, but that God was going to prepare our heart for some sort of change. There was a word about him scrubbing us with a bristle brush, and then we heard that same song on the drums. We had a sound that accompanied the thought of God taking our hearts and cleansing us like with a bristle brush. Psalm 51 was read over us by someone, and then a prophetic song came forth that week that ended towards the end of the service, create a clean heart in me and wash us in the water of your word, was sung over and over and over us. Week two, cleanse our hearts. The third week, March 23rd, was prayer, praise, and worship, all about war. There was nothing else that was happening. God said, you're not disqualified. I have called you. Let's do a little tidying up in here and cleanse your heart. And now we're going to war. Because I have things for you to do. Now that your heart is right, we're going. Taking us into a new season, proclaim God's name to change situations. This is the year of the voice, and several words came forth with that same emphasis of proclaiming things to change things. And our warfare began that way. Proclaim things to change things. And then there was this whole litany of chain words that came. Our chains are broken, never to be put back together again. And then the next word was, we are an army rising up. Handcuffs on the floor, broken in half. God is training our hands for war. Then the chains were seen on the floor and melted into something beautiful. And we will now take the handcuffs that were on us and handcuff condemnation and be set free from the things that we dealt with the two prior weeks, right? Those things are now in handcuffs. We are no longer in handcuffs. And then the song, removing restraints on our hands and freeing us to do signs, wonders, and healing. Boom, 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 boom. These words came just one after the other. And then the song we sang was, you take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it to good. And we stayed there for a long time. Making declarations with our mouths. God, whatever you have put in our lives, what the enemy meant to destroy us, you're going to make it good. And we're going to believe that. And we're going to declare that. And we're going to sing that. And we're going to walk that out. We are on the offense. We're going to break through the enemy line. Keep engaging. Come to your feet. Keep reaching. Keep pressing on. Don't stop. There was a declaration made from Hosea 13:4 that said, I have been the God who brought you out of blank. And we started making declarations with our mouths again. That's part of our warfare this year, what we declare. Our voices are so important. I have been the God who brought you out of Egypt. But fill in the blank. What has he brought you out of? And then one of the teenagers read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 from the Passion Translation, read it over us passionately from the Passion Translation. And it was powerful. It was declared over us. And you know what Ephesians 6 is. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, and about putting on the armor of God. And one of our teenagers read that over us with great passion. And then Romans 16:20 that we heard more than once, that says, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of the Lord Jesus will surround you. That came right after that. We were encouraged to have the grit and determination of the woman with the issue of blood who was determined to touch Jesus no matter what it took her to do it, to press through and to press forth. All this week, one after the other, I'm calling you to war. And I'm giving you everything you need. And the word for the kids about having weapons of war came this week during all of this. And then that service was closed with this. Great exchanges have been made tonight. Chains have been dissolved. But God is running a magnet through the sand. And he is out of that taking that magnite and forging new weapons with the things that held us captive. Just like David had Goliath's sword, the thing that was meant to kill him was now the sword in his hand. And we were given homework that night. The word came forth, start working on your testimonies. Start giving them at the dinner table, because your testimony is also going to become a weapon of war. Work on your testimony. Practice your testimony. Start giving your testimony. That was spoken as a directive word to us as homework. Work on your testimonies. Because if this is the year where we're going to use our voice, and God's going to use the things that the enemy meant to defeat us, to broaden the base of our ministries once we are free, you're going to have a testimony to say to people, I know just what you're going through, because that was me. And that service ended with this: I was, but now I am. I was this. I was a drunk, but now I'm high in the Spirit of God. I was this, but now I am. To declare our testimonies, not just for ourselves, but as weapons of war, weapons in our hands to set others free. March 30th is all about God's glory. So week one, not disqualified. Week two, cleanse our hearts. Week three, all about war. Week four, all about God's glory. We started out with saying we get to step into resurrection power. This was the service before Resurrection Day. Christ, the first to be resurrected, but not the last. And that was spoken over us about resurrection power. Come into resurrection power. Christ was resurrected, you will be resurrected. And then a word came forth that said, when a door is opened, quite often the spirit of Python is laying on the threshold. And Romans 16:20 was spoken again, that we're to put our foot on the head of Python that's in our doorway. In Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. This was the week that the dancers were here, and Vale, I will use your name because everyone will know, gave the little teaching moment about two things must be moving. As you dance, the Lord is highly exalted. The enemy becomes ashes under our feet as we dance, and a spirit of dance descended because the dancers were here. I wasn't present in the room, but I was watching it, and it was amazing. To see, you could tangibly see a spirit of dance descend. And with that came the glory of God, because the flags were gold. The flags that were used over and over again were gold, and gold represents glory. And the glory of God was filling the room. And it was declared over us, the ways of the kingdom are foolish to the world. And from this week on, some maybe kind of foolish-looking things began to happen. But that was declared over us. And I'll tell you, in the days ahead, and as God releases his spirit in you, and as we start walking out the kingdom lifestyle, he will ask you to do some foolish things that seem foolish to the world, but will bring the power of God. Start praying over houses, in businesses. Start sprinkling oil on your sidewalks. Start just saying, there's foolish things you may be asked to do, but it will bring the power and the glory of God. We hit a prophetic act that night with the gold flag that was like an arch up here and raised. And as people came through, they stepped on the head of Python under the glory of God. And person after person came up, and bless her, Tina, my buddy Tina, came and did it for me, stood in for me. And we did that as well. We stood in the gap. That's intercession, whether it's prayer or a prophetic act, it's still intercession. And we did a lot of that. So we stepped through. And then the flags went this way and this way, and it became a crossroads where we would come into God's glory. Some of us, the words came forth, some of you are at a crossroads. And there was an example of that portrayed right at the front of the church. And the dancers were dancing underneath. The glory of God is we're at a crossroads, and the word kept coming forth to, at this crossroads, we're going to encounter the glory of God, that we were to stay humble, that we were going to be carriers of God's glory, and that old mindsets were going, and truth was going to begin to replace it. The things we thought about God, about church, about how we carry ourselves, God's changing a lot of our mindsets and putting new truths in place to be able to live out the kingdom of God and to be carriers of the glory of God. And do you see that if this had happened week one and we were still thinking we were disqualified, it never would have worked? Or week two before our hearts were cleansed and then we had to do some warfare, and then God could bring his glory. And it's going to be the same in the lives of the people that you witness to. Sometimes they need to get a sense of who they are, to know him and be known of him, and to have our hearts cleansed and to be willing to fight so that the glory of God can come. April 6th was fire. Fire. It started out by someone getting up and saying, God is training our minds to war and preparing our hearts to do the miraculous and not the ordinary. And then the next word was, God is pouring out the oil of heaven and he's holding a match. I was here for that week. It sent a chill down my spine. Let me read that again. God is pouring out the oil from heaven, and he's holding a match in his hand. He wants to set us ablaze. Don't settle for the better when things are 90% better, but press in for the all. That came from you. Press in for the all. Press in from the all. And then he called us, are you willing to burn? Are you willing to burn, right? We talked about that, Wendy, after. Are you willing to burn? When we are set on fire, things happen. But God was asking us, are you willing to burn? And then there came forth a word about blood diseases being healed. Many people came forward for blood diseases to be healed. The other thing that happened was curses were broken that were spoken over us by medical people. So does anyone in this room know, or were you touched by the prayer about blood diseases? Somebody? Yes? Come up and say.
have osteoporosis, and it's caused from my cells attacking my bones. And when that word was spoken, I'm standing on that in faith that when they do the next DEXA scan, there will be no more osteoporosis, and there will be no more cells attacking my bones.
So I believe that we're going to start hearing more and more testimonies from the healings that were called out. It was also spoken that there were healing angels present in the room that night praying for us, and another directive word came forth that we were to begin to keep a journal of healings. There was a directive word said we need to start writing down when people have testimonies about healings, because it's going to be one of the things this body will be known for, is physical healing. A night of fire. I'm kind of flying through all this because there's so much. April 13th, the beginning of Aviv. Our words decree and release life. The first word that came forth was ask, seek, and knock. How much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? Then there was some really powerful flagging done by white flags in a word that says sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in and is soft and is gentle, and other times the Holy Spirit comes in like and makes a noise and starts doing some things. The heavens cracked open was the next word that came. The flags caused the heavens to crack open. And then you will remember this song, Where Are My Seekers? Was the song that came forth. Where are my seekers? Where are my seekers? I long for you. I will reward you. Do you remember being one with me in spirit and truth? And then for the first time, we started having responsive singing. Al directed us. We had a teaching moment, and it was sung, I will reward, the Lord singing over us. And then we responded, you will reward. I will reward, and we declared, you will reward. And we started out that night saying, our words will decree and release life. And so now we're in this responsive song with God himself, and he's declaring over us, and we're responding to him. Because he started out the night saying, this is going to be about declaring and speaking. I will reward. You will reward, Lord. We believe it. And as we stayed there for quite a while, too, and we kept singing it and singing it, and you could feel faith building in the room. And then it went on to, I will reward, you will reward. You are my priest. Come into the Holy of Holies. I call you a king and a queen. Go out in war. We are both things. You are my priest. Come into the Holy of Holies. He called us in. You are my king and queen. Go out to war. Let the children in the river with us. And then we had a prophetic act where we walked through the Red Sea and then were baptized in fire. So there were blue flags. And I can give a couple of testimonies. I'm not going to name any names because I don't have permission, but there was someone who had confided in me that because of a childhood trauma, they could not dance. They could not dance. And they'd been hindered from dancing and they wanted to dance. And that night, they got in line and came forth and danced their little feet off. And that was broken. That thing was broken. There were four generations of people that came through, entered into that prophetic act. Four generations of us that did that from in the, however old you are, Jerry, I don't want to say, our elders, to Wendolyn, I think, probably was the youngest, to under a year old. Through that, dancing and singing and declaring, there was a word that came forth. Three people are being given a healing anointing tonight. And I don't know if you picked up on that. If you didn't hear it and it bears witness to you now, grab it. That three people, there was a healing anointing being released. And then we prayed against lung disease. And then the word that was given is, in the midst of the marketplace, our voices will go forth and God will speak healing to the masses. In the marketplace. Because this that has happened over these last 8 weeks was training, was to do a work in us so that he could do a work through us. Not just so he could show off, or nobody had to preach, or we could have fun and do things. It was to do a work in us so that he would do a work through us. April 20th, he called us out to bring us in. He called us out to bring us in. And I think there's several applications to that. He called us out of bondage to bring us into his glory. And then he calls us out of this building to bring us to the world. Right? He calls us out to bring us in. And it said at the very beginning of worship, we've come before you tonight, Lord, as sons and daughters, not as churchgoers. It was identifying and declaring the work of identity that God had been doing over these weeks. We're not here as churchgoers, Lord. We're here as your sons and daughters. He called us out to bring us in. We are not freed slaves, but children of promise. There was a very deep identity change that was happening that night. We will walk differently. And there was a declaration, put a step to it. And we were called, move, put some movement to it, because you're not going to walk like a slave anymore. You're going to walk like a freed person. We will walk differently. Now, here is something that not everybody knows. That night, as we were coming to church, Maggie and I, the boys were up north hunting. We had the announcement that William Douglas got a turkey. But what was not announced, that not many people knew, is that Mason, they had stopped for dinner, and Mason had gotten a piece of chicken stuck in his esophagus. And he couldn't cough it up, and he couldn't wash it down with water. So they ended up having to go to the hospital, and he had to have a procedure done under anesthesia to remove this piece of chicken. So in the middle of this worship, Al says, randomly, the shofar is shaped like an esophagus. Some of you may remember that. And after that, there was a period of shouting. Now, Alan was trying to keep us updated by sending text messages, but they were up in the North Country with not very good Wi-Fi, and so they would come in at all weird times. But as I went back and looked at this service and looked at my phone, when we shouted, the email, the text message came in, procedure over and successful. So a random comment about a shofar being shaped like an esophagus, with most of you not knowing that that had anything to do with anything. And then we shouted that chicken out of Mason's esophagus. I believe we did. I believe we did. And so walking and living is children of promise, not as slaves. And then Come alive in the name of Jesus. We began to sing that. Come alive in the name of Jesus. And we declared, come alive over ourselves. Everything is voice activated. Everything needs to come alive in us. And here again is Mason, you know, struggling for breath. And we're singing, come alive. And then from the podium it comes, we are hungry for what's real, what's true, what's pure, your weighty glory to fall on us, our homes, our stores, our children, our cities, our churches, all of that. It was spoken that Jesus gave his body so we could become the Father's body on earth. There was a convergence of angels in the area waiting for us to speak out. We prayed for the teachers that night. And I think God was calling us to carry one another here inside the house so that we could also carry those outside the house. That he was calling us to a deeper intimacy with one another to be able to carry the burdens of one another as part of what we were called to do in this season. And then these are the healings that were called out. Neck and upper back. Something eating your body. We prayed for Pastor Ed in Pennsylvania. For mental illness and mental instability. For ADD and ADHD. And then releasing faith to bring people to a place where they can be healed through our voice. Through what we speak, the word of the Lord, the timing of the Lord, and the anointing of the Lord is what was spoken to us. And then Al, is our apostolic covering, said, go. That was his closing prayer. Go. So that first night, when we prayed, Holy Spirit, come and take our hands, all this stuff happens in between, and then our apostolic covering, prophetic covering, is saying, now go. I've done this to do this so that you can go. And then we hit last week, and I have to admit I did not listen to it, but I remembered two outstanding things, and what I'm calling this week is, I am your Father. Because we were singing, he's a good, good father. And I was getting ready to preach, and that song caused, I'm like, well, I'm not doing it. We'll just move the podium. We've done that a few times, a few weeks. Move it over. But that song activated something. And then there was a father's blessing that was given, and I've gotten phone calls about the results of that song and that blessing. I've gotten feedback from that happening. And then the last thing was the reminder that we don't want things more than God wants them. That God wants it more than we want it. We don't have to beg and try and convince him for people to be saved, for things to be restored, for our minds to be renewed, for freedom, for him. He wants it more than we want it because he's a good, good father. And we don't have to convince him. And so that was his, like, P.S. You asked, I came, I led you on this path, I'm sending you out, and by the way, I'm your dad, and I love you. And what you want, I want even more. You don't have to twist my arm to do the things I'm asking you to do. I want it more than you do. And so why? Why did these last 8 weeks happen? To set us free from old mindsets. To heal us, to train us for war, to call us into his glory, to call us to work in unison, including every generation, to send us out, to bring it to others, to never be the same again. God is getting us ready to be the men and women of God that can bring all that He is to a lost and dying world. And that's why He does the things He does. So that we can be changed and healed and motivated and spoken to and obey the things He tells us so we can bring it to the world that so desperately needs it. And so, as an apostolic mother in this house, I will say once again, go. Go in the freedom, in the qualifications, in the glory, in warfare, in surrender. Go to the world and introduce Him to your Father. Father, we thank You for what You've done and the way You've done it, Lord. You've led us on a journey. Help us to not forget, but rehearse these things, Lord God. And Father, we are making a commitment as a body of believers. We will do the things You've asked us to do. We will go. Father, we will wait on You. We will bring Your word. We will invite the Holy Spirit. Do what You will do in our midst every single week, Lord God. We thank You for meeting us in such personal ways. And we give You the glory for the fruit of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, if you need healing tonight,